In 1924, at the Paris Olympics, the story that we often remember is the story of Eric Liddell and the Chariots of Fire movie. But there's another athlete from that Olympics who, like Eric Liddell, embodied in his disposition and his life a particular character that was, as Jesus says in today's gospel, the character of one who serves. His name was Bill Havens, and this was the first Olympics where there was going to be the four-man canoe. The Americans were touted as the favorites, and Bill was a key part of that four-man team. But the issue is that his wife was pregnant, and Bill had to determine whether or not to go to Paris or to stay with his wife. His wife encouraged him, "Bill, go for sure. It's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." But of course, in 1924, there were no planes, and it would have been a very slow ship ride back to America if he found that his wife was needing him back at home. So he decided not to go. The irony, in a sense, of the whole thing is as follows, that he actually could have not only competed and won the gold medal with his team, because his wife was very late in giving birth to their child, he would have then had time to come home and be there for the birth. And people said, "What a shame that Bill did not go to Paris." But he said, "I have no regrets. After all, my commitment to my wife is more important." He paid a high price to fulfill the commitment to the one that he loved. He paid a high price to fulfill the commitment to the one he loved. And again, this is sort of, in a sense, the theme of today's readings from Holy Scripture. What motivates us to think and live in the way that we do? And for the second time in Mark's gospel, we have a story of a prediction of Jesus' death. And as he talks about his death, we're told that the apostles don't know what he's talking about. And then we discover why they don't know what he's talking about, because they've been arguing with one another, not about the way to truly serve, but the way to be served. They were talking about who is the greatest. And then Jesus does something as they're in Capernaum, the place where they spent so much time. He brings a child amongst them, and he says, "Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." So I was thinking about this relationship, on the one hand, to the disciples and their attitude of who's the greatest, and then a sense of Bill Havens, his love for his wife and his desire to serve, and what it is to be like a child. On the one hand, the apostles represent the attitude of ambition, and Bill Havens and the little child represent the attitude of abandonment. How do we live our lives? With this attitude of ambition? Or are we learning what a little child learns to do? There's a kind of abandonment that you see in a child of 3, 4 years old, where they are living in the present moment. Ambition and abandonment. These themes are particularly highlighted in our reading from St. James. Listen to what St. James says about ambition. "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts." Now, listen again to some of these words that are associated with this desire to be ambitious. Envy, conflicts, disputes, cravings, covetousness, and the like. A little bit earlier in James, he describes this as earthly wisdom. This is the wisdom of this world, a wisdom that was actually exhibited by the apostles. That's why they don't understand what Jesus is talking about, because they don't know his heavenly wisdom. All they understand at this time is the wisdom of the world, and they have to be converted to the wisdom of Jesus. And I think it's true for all of us. In one way or another, all of us play into this worldly wisdom, this wisdom that is characterized by ambition. How these words that speak about disputes, conflicts, the kind of tensions that exist within relationships are so prevalent today. These cravings can take on an almost diabolical expression, this kind of ambition, this kind of worldly wisdom that is articulated vividly in our first reading from a book called The Wisdom of Solomon. But the person speaking here is the one who is consumed by worldly wisdom and has a complete disregard for God and heaven. And the way this is laid out, it's almost hypothetical. It's as if the worldly man or woman is mocking the person who's seeking to live according to heavenly wisdom. So with that in mind, listen again to these words. Let us lie in wait for the righteous man, because he is inconvenient to us and opposes our actions. Let us see if his words are true, and let us test what will happen at the end of his life. For if the righteous man is God's child, he will help him. He will deliver him from the hand of his adversaries. Do you hear almost the mocking tone of these words? And it almost kind of implied in what they're saying is God's not going to help him. He's going to end up being left alone, destitute, abandoned. And that there is a way, there is a tendency that the wisdom of this world has a kind of hubris, a kind of mockery behind it that will indeed be so dismissive of the person who is trying to cultivate the wisdom that is from above. And so I think we need to acknowledge how in our societies, it doesn't matter if it's in the first century with St. James or us in the 21st century, how this tendency towards defining everything according to a worldly wisdom, this kind of ambition, is something that is so prevalent. Now, how about this way of abandonment? Listen again to part of the psalm that we had this evening. And this first part of the psalm really picks up on our first reading, because we're told, "For the insolent have risen against me, the ruthless seek my life. They do not set God before them." Very much representative of the person in our first reading. And maybe some of you here this afternoon feel that way, that sense that I feel that there are those who have risen up against me, the ruthless who seek my life. And what do we do in a situation like that when we're experiencing this? Well, the psalm goes on to invite us to a kind of godly abandonment. Listen to what the psalmist next prays. "But surely God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good." What's so important to identify here is that this is a psalm, a prayer of trust in the midst of aggression, where the person is being very clearly opposed. But this man of God is learning the way of abandonment. And as we discover this way more and more, we then come in contact with the wisdom that is from above, what we would call heavenly wisdom. And listen to how St. James describes this kind of wisdom. "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy." I'd invite you to do something this weekend. If you have your missal, read through this passage from James. And ask the Holy Spirit to inform your heart and your mind, and I'll do the same. Lord, in what ways am I conformed to the wisdom of this world? And what are the ways in which you want to help me to become a person whose life is characterized by these virtues of gentleness, being willing to yield? Isn't that hard for us today? To be able to yield is something that I don't think we really know how to do. Full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. What a different way of life from the self-absorbed, ambitious person. to abandon ourselves so as to grow in embodying these virtues is something that is always needed. Because you see, we live in a world of a cacophony of noise, of disputes, of aggression, of anger, of disputes and just this hostility of heart. And how hard it can be for us to find the place to quietly contemplate what it is to live a life of deepening abandonment to God. But as we grow in trying to cultivate these heavenly virtues, there's a consequence that St. James says we'll discover. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Remember what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons and daughters of God." And so, my beloved brothers and sisters, in a world like this, we are called one day at a time to try to grow in being informed by these heavenly virtues, this heavenly wisdom. And St. James says that when this happens, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace. What does that mean? A righteous life is a life that is formed from heaven and in turn influences how we live on earth. It is the kind of life that is characterized in the Lord's Prayer. When we pray, "Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." St. James, I'm sure, had the Lord's Prayer in mind when he speaks to us today of this heavenly wisdom. To end my homily, I want to share with you a sequel to the story of Bill Havens. The child, that was eventually born to Bill and his wife had the name Frank. 28 years later, in 1952, Bill received a cablegram from Frank. It was sent from Helsinki, where the 1952 Olympics were being held. And the cablegram from Frank to Bill read, "Dad, I won. I'm bringing home the gold medal you lost when you were waiting for me to be born." My beloved brothers and sisters, there is a sequel to our acts of commitment as well. Our commitments to one another and our commitment to God. When we cultivate a way of living sacrificially here in this life, there may be ways in which, like Bill, we will miss out. But we shall receive a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of joy and peace that will endure forever. And we don't have to wait for heaven to experience it. As we learn the way of heavenly wisdom in this very fractured and contentious society in which we are now living, we can discover the way of abandonment and to choose that wisdom from above that is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. May we hear Jesus say to us, "Follow in the way of the cross. Follow in the way, not of ambition, but of godly abandonment."